Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans! Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we are talking about Season 5, Episode 13, Principia. We're going to be breaking down the episode, talking about Deke's quality family time, the remnants of Hydra, and of course breaking down the new Infinity War trailer. Guys, it's hammer time.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Zach!
You're supposed to be the one that hates wordplay jokes.
Yeah, it's different when it's a song reference. Now if it were a pun, guys, we couldn't even... Like if Thor had been there and said, it's hammer time, then it would have been a pun.
Then it would have been beautiful.
It would have been amazing.
And then Justin Hammer shows up.
What?! Guys,
and we finally get the Agents of Hammer that I keep referencing, but they'll never do.
We're building up to Infinity War, so we're getting a lot of callbacks in this show, so who knows, maybe.
Callbacks designed to make me furious, you mean?
Don't worry, we're gonna get to it, and we're gonna let all our feelings out. Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans, welcome back to the AfterBuzz After Show for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm your host, Megan Salinas, and with me, as always, is Zach Wilson.
Hey guys, thanks for joining us. Jesse and Taron are off fighting to the death.
They're on a mountaintop.
Somewhere.
On a mountaintop right now.
I think Jesse has chosen his weapon of catalytic converter. Taron has chosen the twin guns of empty threats. And
now, here's the thing. I feel like Jesse, for the most part, is an honorable fighter. Do we feel like Taron is using underhanded tactics in their fight right now?
Probably.
Most likely. But yes, they are unfortunately not able to join us tonight, but you guys can follow them on all the social media atmosphere stuff at I Am Taron and at Jess Klein 1, respectively. So yeah, let's talk about this episode because we definitely want to talk about the Infinity War trailer towards the end of the show when we get to like the news and gossipy area.
This was so good.
It was super good. So if you guys haven't seen it and you want to remain like one, if you want to go into Infinity War completely blind,
we'll warn you.
Yeah, we'll give you a heads up for sure. But yeah, in the meantime, let's talk about this episode. What are your initial thoughts? Because I'm very much enjoying this part of the season where we're back in the present and we're kind of seeing all the groundwork from the first half of the season sort of come together.
I like this episode. Last week's episode, the more I thought about it, I was like, this is a solid like anniversary special, but not the best episode, which I think we talked a little bit about last week. But that's sort of like, I sort of rooted that opinion down. But this was like, all right, we're back into the show. We're going ahead. This was like spy mission stuff, crazy science stuff. Like, this is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at its core. Like, weird powers with like deep cut Marvel references because we got a Von Strucker back in play. Like, this is what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has always been. So I like
that. Yeah, there was heart. There's that. Something that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has always done really well is that espionage, spy sort of framework, narrative, but also with this underlying sense of fun and whimsy. And it definitely gets dark every now and then. Like, again, I'll never forget the fact that Ghost Rider ripped out a dude's spine. And even before that, like, it definitely got dark in a lot of places. But this is an episode with a flying ship and Mac fighting robots and just, there's a lot of
and
really...
a guy called Candyman for some reason.
I can't tell you how happy it makes me to see Jake Busey in the show. But yeah, let's go ahead and start talking about the episode. You brought up Von Strucker. I want to talk about Alex Von Strucker because talking about callbacks and the fact that Hale is very much putting together this team that may or may not be the Thunderbolts, you know, that may or may not be Hammer's team. Basically, she's putting together an anti-S.H.I.E.L.D. Alex Von Strucker is a character I never thought we would see again. I was so surprised. I was like, holy cow, he's alive?
I mean, that's the good thing is I like that what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is basically doing is they're saying, like, okay, we've already established a ton of characters that have abilities in one form or another that could be useful if we were to put together a team. All right, call the actors, call all the agents. who's available, and we'll figure out. Like, maybe they didn't have, probably not really.
But they're able to get
Creel in there. They get Von Strucker in there, and like led by Ruby, and like you have a fun dynamic team.
Yeah, I felt a lot of the callbacks were all a part of the buildup to episode 100. But now that we're sort of past that and we were seeing more deep cuts, as it were, for the series and more callbacks for longtime fans, it's making me feel like, and I don't necessarily want to jinx it or anything like that, but it really does kind of feel like we are ramping up for a series finale.
Yeah, and again... And again, like I thought that this was going to be the case with last season, yeah. And I was glad that I was wrong. But Infinity War, by the time Infinity War comes out, the larger Marvel universe, like threading things into that, is going to be so complicated.
Yeah,
assuming like any of our guesses about Infinity War are correct, in that I'm assuming by the end of it, some major thing has shifted in the entire universe.
Yeah.
Having a show with like S.H.I.E.L.D., which is designed to be directly integrated into larger world things, is harder to keep going.
Yeah.
Because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has a global reach. Just S.H.I.E.L.D. by nature has to have that kind of global reach to it. As opposed to like the Netflix series, which is very grounded. They are in their little bubble, and when they don't go outside of it, I'm not bothered. Like, I'm not surprised that the events of Black Panther do not affect
Jessica Jones or the Punisher at all. Anyway.
But I am a little bit like surprised. Well, not specifically with Black Panther, because that was a fairly insular story as well, without giving any spoilers. But I would, but like a lot of the ones,
or like Doctor, Thor Ragnarok.
Like Doctor Strange, yeah. It was in the off season for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't acknowledge like bigger happenings around like that, you want to see it involved. And like we did acknowledge Thor Ragnarok very, very minorly.
Very briefly.
But we did acknowledge it at least, because that kind of stuff would pop up on their radar. So when you have a world catastrophe thing happening, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has to deal with it. So
never mind. I was gonna spoil it. Never mind. Because Asgard's doing a thing right now. Huh. Maybe we should get someone on that.
But so I think that maybe it's a kind of thing where it has to like go away for a couple of years, and like you can always bring those characters back as like then you like put it away for put shelf the characters for a couple of years while like new Avengers or Avengers 4. If it's not called New Avengers, I will be shocked.
Yeah, I would be very surprised as well.
And then maybe bring like Quake back with maybe May and Fitzsimmons as Secret Warriors or something like that.
As far as bookending things go, it makes sense that the Avengers, you know, this show started with the Avengers, with the events of the Avengers, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. exists because of the fan response to the Avengers. And so it actually does make sense that with Infinity War coming up and the sort of first chapter of the Avengers being brought to a close, it does make sense that it would also be time to close the book on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well, because that chapter is done, so to speak. I would love to see this show continue, but like I said, the more and more we talk about it, the more and more it feels like we're ramping up for the end.
They're making old references, the gravitonium thing, even if it's not graviton. When was the last time the show mentioned Ian Quinn?
Oh, it's been a while, and I was like, I thought he had been apprehended. How dare he just disappear into the void? Yeah. That's not fair. But to get back to Alex Von Strucker, we get this very dark, cold open of him attacking his therapist, and very much just wanting the torture that Ward put him through has left deep psychological scars, and now he seems to have a perfect memory of his entire life.
Yeah, that's a fascinating and twisted little like power to give him. Like,
yeah.
for like perfect memory is like a cool power. You're like, oh, you could like learn all kinds of formulas and facts, like become just like a wealth of
information.
You
could basically like pause your life, rewind, and zoom and enhance on just about anything in your life.
Yeah. Like imagine being able to read a book and recall every single word in that book. And then you start to get into very important things like documents or anything like that. But I love that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. decided to amp that up by saying like, well, but what if you had a perfect memory and extreme trauma that most people, well, like when you go through a trauma, you spend your time trying to forget.
Yeah, that's repressing
the, like,
that.
Repress and like repress so that you can move on. But what if you can't repress? What if you are physically incapable of repressing your traumatic memories?
And I know he's not exactly a good guy, but that's something really harsh to wish on anybody. But yeah, he seems to, this outburst, he was intending it to very much put him in a state where he would be lobotomized. He did it on purpose. He's like, I'm over this. But instead, Hale apprehends him and puts him in the same facility that she's keeping Ruby in. Now, this is interesting, and I actually wrote in my notes, because it's very clear that Hale is looking to manipulate him into joining her team that she's putting together. Ruby seems to have her own agenda in that regard. I'm wondering whether or not there was kind of a relationship between Hale and Von Strucker, because she mentioned having overlapping...
Papa Strucker.
Yeah. Papa Strucker, sorry. But they had overlapping interests at the time, and that makes me go, wait, is it possible that Ruby and Alex are brother and sister? And if that, I really hope that's not the case, because there was
I don't think so.
I would think that like you wouldn't necessarily need that. I just wanted to throw that out there as a moment, because when she's sort of seducing him, I was just like, please, please don't be brother and sister. Please don't be brother and sister. Please don't be brother and sister.
Although I think you're good. I don't think that that will be a problem.
That does make me wonder, though, what do Hydra playdates look like? Because that's essentially what it was. It was two members of Hydra getting together to talk about evil plans while their kids went off and played.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I mean,
it's so hard being an evil parent.
Yeah, I mean, Hale, it was really interesting to hear Hale talk about it, because like now we know it's not just that she's like, oh, a military leader gone awry.
Yeah,
she was basically Hydra and was like, no, Hydra's like, she was like, Hydra didn't do it right. Not like, oh, Hydra was bad and I'm good, but like, I'm like, we all know she's evil because her goals are, no, she's totally on board with Hydra. They just didn't do it. Herman, they just messed up a little bit. So move on.
I just love the idea of her like rolling her eyes at like all the different incarnations of Hydra that we've had so far. And she's just like, ugh, toxic masculinity ruins the party again. If I were in charge, things would be different.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess this is like the idea is like you chopped off all the heads of Hydra, but like, there's still pieces of the Hydra running around.
It was so deep-seated, and we've talked on the show before about all the different arms of Hydra, the science side, the military side, the religious side. There were so many different sides of Hydra that were so deeply embedded in S.H.I.E.L.D. and other aspects of the military and society that, yeah, it's never fully gonna go away. It could definitely pop up again at any moment.
Heywood in the chat asks, Hale, is Madame Hydra now? I don't think so. I think she doesn't. She now thinks the name Hydra is stained. I don't think she wants to, even if she was Hydra before, I don't think she wants to embrace Hydra in the slightest, because as far as she's concerned, It is a failed organization, but she still sees the goals that Hydra had as something to strive for. That level of control over the world and its people is what she is trying to do, and she's trying to assemble this strike team I don't know. We got to come up with a name for them because they're obviously not the Thunderbolts.
Yeah, but like, Discount Suicide Squad, but they're not really the Suicide Squad.
Like, so I'd rather watch these guys than Suicide Squad. But I don't. Maybe we got to get like one more team member, and then we'll
because
they're not the Wrecking Crew, even though they have Crusher Creel.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they only have Crusher Creel, who I'm excited to see back. Like, I wanted to see him transform.
I think I'm with you. We need to wait to see who the final members of their group are, because then we know what everybody brings to the table. Because right now we've got Absorbing Man, Guy Who Remembers Stuff, and Soulless Automaton Ruby, who's super strong, I think.
I mean, right now, as far as we can tell, she just has like
a lot of military training
and a base level of power. Like, she's strong and very fast.
Yeah.
Fast enough to catch
where Yo-Yo's going.
Yeah, she looks like she's sort of on par with, like, a Jessica Jones-level power set. Like, where she's, like, a little... She's extra strong, but not, like, cap strong. She's fast, but not, like, Yo-Yo fast.
And even...
If she has more powers than that... We have not been shown them.
It could also just be years and years and years of military training, but the fact that her mother keeps her in this facility makes me think that it's a little bit more dangerous than that, but it's hard to say. Anyway, so yeah, do we have any more thoughts on the Von Strucker sort of hammer team that's being assembled before we move on?
No. I'm more interested than I was before with the addition of Von Strucker, because like I love that Ruby is trying to utilize the team for her own means.
Yeah, it's
we assume that's the other thing is like there's a part of me that's like, is this just her play?
Yeah,
is she still on board with her mom's side? I actually, my instincts say no. That she doesn't like her mom, and she's trying to break away from that.
We did have that moment where her mom asked, hey, what'd you say that made it work? And she said the truth. Now, that could just be a lie. You know, it could just be a lie to placate her mom, or it could very well be an admission of Ruby going, no, that I wasn't playing him when in that previous scene you were not in.
Look, she knows the best way to lie, and that's to tell half-truths.
That's very true. Yeah, it's more omission than outright lie. Yeah. So, it will be interesting to see what Ruby has in terms of her agenda. I'm wondering, she's obsessed with Quake. I'm wondering if maybe as they're assembling this superpowered team together, if this isn't all like building up to basically Ruby wanting to assemble her own fan version of the Secret Warriors. Like, Quake will be our leader, and we will serve with Quake.
I'm on board for that, if that's what's happening here. I would love to see, because again, I would just love to see what Daisy would do with that kind of attention.
I would assume that she, this is the woman that cut off Yo-Yo's arms. There's not going to be any team-ups anytime soon.
But, like, if it's the kind of thing where, yes, she cut off Yo-Yo's arms, but she was forced into it. Like, most of the people that S.H.I.E.L.D. has worked with over the seasons have done something like
That's true.
That they have to, like, learn to get forgiveness for, or they've been forced into something and we have to acknowledge that, like, they didn't do it of their own volition. Or, like, as far as Hale wanted, she was like, kill them.
Yeah.
Kill them all. And she just maimed her.
She's like, it could have been worse.
Also, knowing that, like, we have Coulson's left hand style prosthetics in this world, so Yo-Yo's gonna be fine.
You'll get a new hand, a robot hand, with better, it'll have laser cannons, and it'll be great.
And shields, and, yeah. And she'll have two of them. Who knows, like, what kind of combination stuff she can do.
You call, if you call Claw, he'll get you a hookup with a cool vibranium arm. It'll be awesome.
Yeah. Call that guy.
I'm sure it'll be fine. But let's talk about a little bit more about the gravitonium side of things. That simultaneously exciting and infuriating plot point. Because a good chunk of this episode is about the hunt for gravitonium.
You're messing with me at this point, writers. Like, you're actively saying, we hear you, but F you.
Like, if graviton is not the thing that ends up destroying the world.
Did they even say Franklin Hall's name in that list of scientists?
I don't believe so.
Because I was listening for it, and I'm sorry, I cut you off.
Oh, no. I was just thinking, like, I would have to rewind and, like, pause to see the entire list of scientists, because I don't recall seeing his name. And I think that's mostly because he was considered dead before the whole thing with Cybertech went down.
Yes. But, like, just, like, some kind of, they're not even, like, name-checking or so. The fact that they didn't name check him in this episode is sort of like saying to me that they don't plan on, like, because this was the best opportunity to remind viewers that he exists. Oh, but remember Dr. Franklin Hall? He fell into the gravitonium.
They also make a point, though, of saying that the gravitonium that they obtain in this episode is not all of it.
Yes.
Hale has the rest of it. And the
don't think they did say that Hale had the rest of it.
Oh, okay.
Because that was the thing is, I think Hale and her little assistant, we're talking about how I forget exactly what they said, but I think they sort of hinted that they didn't have it. They didn't know what had happened to it.
That's a good point.
They had found the ship.
Yeah, and that they couldn't retrieve that portion of it because any sort of aggressive strike could have been catastrophic to the Earth, the environment. But the idea that maybe once all of the pieces of gravitonium come back together, maybe that's when we get our graviton. Maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be a great final big bad. Like, from season one, they created a monster.
Four episodes in!
And, like, he doesn't even have to be a villain. Like, that's the thing, because Franklin Hall, as we knew him, was not a villain. But, like, if they go to close up this universe fissure, and, okay, you need gravitonium to do it, well, here's a guy made of gravitonium who could theoretically just close it on his own. Like, he could shut it by his own force of will.
Dude.
And the chat is saying, like, didn't Coulson say that Hale has it? But no, Coulson thinks that she has it because they find one of her LMDs. But she sort of says in her conversation that she doesn't. So
it sounds like it's just an assumption on S.H.I.E.L.D.'s part that Hale is in possession of it. That may or may not be true. I don't know. There are plenty of black stabbers in Hydra.
I know that Franklin Hall went crazy, but, like, he was a scientist at one time.
You bring up an excellent point. Maybe this whole thing isn't building up to Graviton being a giant boss. But, yeah, maybe Graviton is how we break the time loop. Like, because gravity is something that permeates time and space.
Yes, it does.
Oh, yes. Did we just crack it?
Want it.
Okay. let's talk a little bit more about what our heroes actually do to try to track down and get to the flying ship, because it was great. And we get this great Cybertech callback, which is a word I have not heard since, like, season one or two of this show. Like you said, talking about Ian Quinn. And there's a gentleman who seems to have faked all of the deaths of the former Cybertech scientist. And so they go on the hunt for him. And it turns out to be Jake Busey, a.k.a. Tony Kane, a former buddy of Max.
Yeah, this guy's fun. Jake Busey, like, who I just remember from Starship Troopers.
Starship Troopers? Can I tell you what I remember him from besides Starship Troopers? The Frighteners. He was in
What that is.
You've never seen The Frighteners? It's like a Peter Jackson worked on it. He wasn't the director, but I think he was, like, the editor on it. Michael J. Fox is a con artist who also has, like, sixth sense powers, and he can see ghosts. And basically, this ghostly serial killer starts bumping people off, and he's trying to get to the bottom of it. It's great and stupid. I love
it. Anyway, we got Candyman.
That's neither here nor there. But yeah, I love the interaction between these two, because anytime we get more of Mac's past and his former buddies, like, it's always a delight.
I love his, like, The Rock style, like, class photo. Like, it just reminded me of, like, that photo of The Rock from, like, the 80s with the chain and the turtleneck sweater and stuff. But, like, that's what we were looking at here, is, like, cheesy 80s Mac.
They, the fact that his name was Hammer Mac.
Mac Hammer.
Oh, my gosh. It was so perfect.
And they even, like, they started playing with it so, stop.
Can't touch this. Really? Coulson's like, I'm dying. What do you want? Let me have this. And then, yeah, I will say, though, I genuinely had a moment, as fun as this episode was, I was genuinely afraid for Mac when they were trying to escape the ship, because we know that at some point he doesn't make it, and that Yo-Yo, after she gets her prosthetic arms, leaves the team because of it. In this moment, I was genuinely concerned that Mac wasn't going to be able to make it off the ship in time.
No.
But I'm glad he did, because he got arms.
He got those arms. Except, here's the thing. I really hope that they, because they didn't acknowledge it in the show, but, like, I really hope they swept that thing for, like, tracer bugs.
Yeah.
Because those things were remote activated by, or, like, I guess they were motion activated, but still, they connected back to the base. Like, how do you know that there's not a tracker in it?
I absolutely hope that, yeah, they did a sweep for that before bringing it back to their lair. Although, technically, I feel like they could figure out where the headquarters are, because they set off the remote detonation for the beacon. So I feel like if they put two and two together, they could find where the hideout is at the moment. But you bring up an excellent point. Why take that risk? Next time, Mac, just take the arms. Leave the rest of it behind.
I like Renji's comment. The way to a girl's heart is robot arms.
You're not wrong.
Remember that, folks. As Megan said, robot arms are the best gift you can give a woman.
True story. Complete sidebar. I love any story where there is a flying ship. Like, not necessarily a spaceship, but just a ship
that
sails
so
through the clouds.
Cool. That was some weird Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff. Like,
it is a delight.
Like, who needs a helicarrier when you can just make this normal aircraft carrier float?
Made me so happy. Okay, so talking about Mac, we get some really, really moving scenes between him and Yo-Yo in this episode, and it's both moving and also really sad to see her dealing with the trauma of having lost these limbs, but I really like the way the show is approaching it, because it feels real. It feels genuine, mm-hmm. because she wakes up in the middle of the night and forgets that she's lost her arms at one point. And then, you know, when Mac is making a fuss, she's kind of getting annoyed by it. And then at the very end, she's kind of using humor to sort of cope with it a little bit. And so I just really appreciate the way they're handling that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. No, it's good. I don't really have a lot to add there. Like, their relationship's good. It's taking a good arc. Like, I love her acknowledgement of, like, what she wants from the relationship. And, like, I think we'll get more payoff as, again, this is starting to feel like a series. Mm-hmm. And, like, we're starting to wrap up.
Yeah.
It's like, if assuming that we don't blow up the Earth, which we can't, so, like, not a lot of threat there.
No.
But then, like, yeah, then Mac and Yo-Yo can ride off into the sunset.
Aw, yay.
They can. And, like, we know that Fitz and Simmons are going to, like, have a baby.
Yay!
Let's talk about this.
The only other thing I want to say is that I like the idea that Tony Kane is still around and that he's going to be doing some digging for them to try to get some answers. So I like the idea that he'll eventually be coming back.
Yeah.
So or maybe just Skype them or something. I don't know. So, like, that makes me think that, yeah, we are going to be seeing Ian Quinn before the show wraps up. So yeah, let's talk about Fitz and Simmons Fitz. Which ship name would make the best last name, like, new last name for them? Because I always thought Fitzsimmons had the better ring to it. but
Simmons Fitz.
Simmons hyphen Fitz. But I really loved this subplot, just seeing Deke hanging around Fitz and sort of slowly but surely driving him crazy. Being like, hey, do you want to have a game of catch, Grandpa? No!
It's a little on the nose, maybe. It would have been less, it would have felt more on the nose if he had figured it out already.
Yeah.
And he was just trying to be like, play catch with me, Grandpa. But he was just doing it by accident. The one thing I'm confused about with Deke, and like, this is an adorable plot line. Like, I really like confusing, but the actor's name, what Ward is doing. not the character Ward. He's doing a great job with Deke, but it feels like we shifted that character majorly in a way that like was very sudden, where like he was a very serious person first half of the season and now he's sort of giddy dumb.
It's interesting to see the way that they've handled him in terms of the fish out of water setting, because at the beginning of the season, you know, he's the one that understands the world that they're in. He knows how cutthroat it is. It's, you know, kill or be killed. It's every man for himself. You keep your head down, you do your job, and hopefully you live to see tomorrow. But, like, I guess putting him in this new environment where everything is super stimulating and overwhelming and also exciting. And maybe the thing is he's just on a perpetual sugar high. Because he's never consumed this much sugar in his life, so it could just be, like, his blood sugar is through the roof.
That's fair. And if they played that, I would be on board. It was just that his transformation felt sudden.
It's completely understandable because the stakes are still just as high, but to see this abrupt shift to more of a comedic relief character, you could argue is a little bit of a disservice to his character. I feel like... And plus, like, they're also going for that family angle, too, that familial angle. I get what you're saying. I'm enjoying it, but I totally understand where you're coming from in terms of, like, this just feels off.
Yeah. That said, like, I like what they're building here. I like that he figured it out by the end. I love that he is, like, that. Like, yeah, Fitz is like, you're such an idiot.
And he's I built the framework.
He's not. He is still the grandchild of Fitzsimmons.
But isn't that such a grandpa thing to say to your grandson? Oh, don't be an idiot.
it all was perfect interaction. But what I mean is, like, I love that he, like, Fitz is treating him like he's an idiot, but then it's like, no, he just is coming. He comes from a different world, and there he's smart. And so, like, you give him the amount of information that he has, and with the training that he has, he still is able to put that to use. He knows gravitonium just like as well as like anyone in his situation could. He figured it out. He knows it. He doesn't have the training to understand the formulas and the science behind it all. But he knows the principles and can apply that to these real world scenarios. So, like, he is effective as Fitzsimmons. Just like he doesn't have the same training.
I love the way he put it. He's like, IQ in where I'm from wasn't measured by numbers or a test. It was on how long you could stay alive. Yeah. Like that was your level.
His
of
IQ probably is through the roof too. If you really got down to it.
And I really felt for him too, because as much as they're playing up the comedic angle of it, he still has an incredibly tragic backstory. And we see that with this brief interaction with his mother in terms of like this manifestation of the fear dimension, who we now know is in fact the child of Fitz and Simmons based on what she said, that saying. So we know that they have a girl and that it wasn't his dad.
It was my, like, his mother's ring given by his grandmother. I guess you could give your ring to your daughter-in-law, but
yeah
but that was very cool. That woman in the cast was also like very clearly a, hey, we made a Fitzsimmons baby and and she's 40.
I really felt for him, and it makes me wonder in terms of the preview now, you know, seeing that the fear manifestations are still popping up, like how much of what we saw in the preview is manifestations from this other dimension and how much of it is actual real threats that are that are coming and hanging out. So yeah, do we have any other thoughts on Deke and Fitz and Simmons? Just that now that he knows, I guess, whether or not he's going to act on that information will be interesting.
Yeah, I think it's basically just going to be played for comedy for the next like several episodes until I think maybe we'll get it. I would say either by the end of next episode or the end of the one after that at the very latest.
Yeah.
I also just now realizing I never saw the preview for next week and I have no idea what's going to happen.
We got to get to talking about the trailer. But yeah, quick rundown of
predictions.
The preview.
Should we do quick predictions?
Let's go ahead and get into some predictions real quick.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So yeah, the preview for next week, we see the Superior again.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. I do this, now for one moment.
This is what happens if you watch it on like
you
Hulu
mean MODOK?
Potentially. So we see the Superior come back, and also the Absorbing Man tracks down their location and basically comes to S.H.I.E.L.D. with a bomb strapped to his chest. Not great. And that seems to be the majority of it.
Oh man.
So yes, the return of the Superior and all of his robot bits.
I'm like watching it on mute right now. he could be MODOK. Like, what if Ruby? Okay. Crazy swing prediction that I kind of don't really think is real. What if Ruby made contact with the Superior? The Superior is like, I am designed only for killing. So now I need a team designed only for killing. You bring me the talent and we will take over the world, or whatever Ruby's goal is. So Ruby is secretly working with MODOK Superior.
Side pitch. What if Hale, as we know her, what if the real Hale is dead, killed by the Superior, and the Superior replaced her with an LMD? And so this person, yeah, who's putting together this team is an LMD working for the Superior.
And they're saying we saw a framework Fritz?
Yes, that's the other big thing about next episode is that in terms of the fear manifestations, Framework Fitz, a.k.a. Fritz, is there, and there's this confrontation between him and our
Fitz's biggest fear. I can't wait. All
dude,
right.
Taran is going to lose his mind.
Yeah, he is. He is, but he's going to be out again because he's got a show.
Mm-hmm.
Support I Am Taran on Twitter. He does a lot of comedy, and we appreciate that of him.
However,
he's going to miss
he's going to be real mad that he misses
Fritz. anyway,
let's talk Infinity War trailer
real briefly.
If you guys haven't seen it yet, just warning, heads up, we're talking about it now. So.
Just the trailer. We obviously have not seen the movie, although I'm trying so hard to get in early.
I wish. Okay, so this trailer feels epic. Like, I feel like that's a huge understatement, and I feel like any misgivings I might have had about the movie, which didn't exist, BTW, I feel are completely dispelled. And just that last moment of the trailer too made me go, not only is this going to be epic and sad and really intense, but it's also going to be funny. It's going to be Avengers funny.
Yeah. I mean, the thing, so I did have some trepidation about Infinity War before this trailer because, and not anything specific, not like, oh, that plotline doesn't make sense or like, why is that there?
No, it's always good to manage expectations.
People were nervous when the original Avengers movie came out because
yeah.
how do you manage all those plotlines? And we were shocked that Joss Whedon pulled it off.
And characters.
This is that to the nth degree that the Russo brothers have to like manage all of these characters and like there's no... It seems that there's no way that you could possibly give the amount of attention that each one of these characters deserves and give them an actual storyline and an arc and like make it feel cohesive.
It worked with Avengers. I feel like it was a little bit of a misstep with Age of Ultron, but it worked for Civil War too. So it's one of those things where it's like, I think we're good, but they're juggling a lot of things.
Well, Age of Ultron's biggest problem was that it was trying too hard to set up the next half of the movies.
Mm-hmm.
But Feige has been very clear that they're treating as a finale. And so they're not, there will be a couple little threads that I'm sure they leave on at the end with probably 18 post-credit scenes. But like they're not concerned about what's next. They're concerned about wrapping up, and that's what this needs to be for it to be good. And I was there's just so much, that could go wrong with something like that, that I was nervous. And the original trailers, like, they all looked good. I'm like, I'm in. Like, this has me excited for it. But it didn't, like, necessarily assuage any of those fears of, like, what am I going to get when I get to the movie theater? This trailer got me jazzed. So jazzed. Like, because it's showing it, they didn't spoil anything. That was the thing I liked the most, is that, like, I don't have any more of a grasp on the story or the beats than I did before. We know a couple more scenes. Like, we know that Thanos is, like, gonna, like, try to wail on Cap, and then Cap goes, like, I could do this all day. I'll bet. I didn't actually say that, but, like, I heard it. You hear it in his head.
You know he was thinking it. And
the chat's like, where is Clint? And I'm like, ooh, it's not bode well for Clint.
Where is Clint? Yeah, where is Ant-Man? And where is Nick Fury?
Where is Ant-Man? I'm so... They said he's in this movie, and they've done nothing to show.
He's just tiny the entire time.
Yeah, like, but, like, where... I don't, and like, I, maybe they just had to keep him back because Ant-Man and the Wasp is like right there.
Yeah,
like it's like a month after.
We're coming towards it.
But like, so, okay. But like the interaction, but what I was getting to, they showed off the interactions in this trailer, and like that this is going to, okay, it's going to be epic. It's going to get dark with Thanos, and like Josh Brolin's Thanos voice is
perfect, spot on.
The character interactions that we're going to get, which is the thing that this major smash up of all of these characters is like the thing that we're excited for.
Was the draw of the original Avengers.
They're working.
Too.
You have silly Peter Parker, like little kid Peter Parker, playing off of straight man Doctor Strange, and they're both exactly how those characters would behave. Oh, so we're using our fake names now.
I'm Spider-Man.
Like Star-Lord interacting with Tony Stark. Those two characters are like, they're different breeds of the same guy.
Different breeds of narcissism clashing together, yeah. And it's going to be amazing because Peter Quill is just such a... They're both giant man-children, but in varying degrees, and they both saved the world. So it's just... It's going to be fantastic. I can't wait.
And they're like, who is using the Hulkbuster armor if Iron Man is in space? I'm going to call it right now. I think Hulk is straight up in the Hulkbuster armor. I think because there's a great plot line in the Hulk run Indestructible Hulk where the Hulk gets armor.
Dude.
And like, it's sort of like Banner has armor. It's more just to accentuate what the Hulk can already do. But it's a really cool idea. And like, I think that's probably, it's probably a way, either it's Banner in there, or it's Hulk in a way that like maybe makes him more controlled. Whatever it is. Okay. Well, we've gone way over our time because I just started talking and then it just vomited out.
The only other thing is after having seen Black Panther, I am chomping at the bits to get more with that cast too. So anybody from Black Panther who's going to end up in Infinity War.
Yes.
Like it's super exciting.
Please, let's get T'Challa and Tony Stark and Bruce Banner, like three of the biggest minds on the planet in the same room together. Let's get Shuri
and
science
Parker.
Whiz and Peter Parker, the two teenage science whizzes, to just get together and like nerd out, and they're gonna be like tweeting at each other like stupid memes.
Theirs is the friendship and the scientific, you know, prowess that it ultimately they're going to defeat Thanos.
But hold on, let's get the three teens together. Let's get Peter Parker, Shuri, and Groot.
Yes,
who is a teenager now. Remember,
after the first Infinity War trailer dropped, like somebody tweeted out that these are the teenagers that are going to save the universe, and it's Groot, Shuri, and Peter. Okay, we've geeked out about this trailer long enough. Thank you guys so much for watching and sticking with us. Zach, where can people go if they want to find you?
All right, guys, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at that Zach Wilson, T-H-A-T-Z-A-C-H-W-I-L-S-O-N. Be sure to tune in tonight at 10 p.m. for the Jessica Jones After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV, sci-fi, fantasy, and superheroes. We're going to be talking about episodes 7 through 9, and then later in the week on Wednesday, I believe, at I want to say 3 p.m., we're going to be talking about episodes 10 to 12, And then I think next Sunday we're talking about the finale. So be sure to check that out. If you like video games, I write for Game Engine on Geek & Sundry's Twitch channel and ProjectAlpha.com. So please go and support that. All the details and stuff are on my Twitter.
And again, we're sad that Taran and Jesse couldn't join us tonight, but you can follow them all over the social media atmosphere at I am Taran and at Jess Klein 1. I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at The Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. I do a bunch of stuff. Just follow me on Twitter and Instagram. Again, thank you guys so much. Follow the whole team at ABTV Marvel. And don't forget to go to iTunes to rate, subscribe, and leave a comment. We love hearing from you. It's the best way to let our producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on. Thank you guys so, so much for watching.
Go ahead. Sorry, if you're still listening. after that and you haven't the stuff changed with the podcast. You can now once again find us on iTunes as the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Woo!
After show. Just search for it. It's the same place it used to be, and it's still there. So
good to know. That's awesome.
So now you can find, it's like the same way that it used to be. If you're trying to find it, if you're listening on any other platform and you're trying to find it on iTunes, back to the old way.
Woohoo! All right. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Hammer time!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.